Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose, but I'm not stopping there. I am also a doer of God's Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, I declare what God declares. I am blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, Word of God. That's right. All right. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five around you. Come on, give somebody a high five. Let them know you are in the right place. You are in the right place. Please write down some things. I'm going to give you several things to write down today, because I believe we can be able to retain them much more if we write them down. So I'm going to give you these things that I believe are important to us as believers. Write this down, please. My integrity will promote me. My integrity will promote me. Everybody got that? Your integrity will promote you, and we will be promoted by our integrity. Now, we've been studying the subject of faith, just simply that one word and its meaning to us as believers. It is important to learn because the just shall live by faith. So we're really studying how to live as a Christian or as a believer, and we have to live by faith. Deductive reasoning concerning that, using the Word of God, is that faith comes, listen now, faith comes, I said faith comes by what? And hearing by what? I'm going to say it again. Faith comes. Now, if faith comes, faith can go. Meaning, we can use up our faith. So it's important to consistently get a new level of faith in your own personal life. Don't let yourself run dry on faith. It's amazing, all these cars driving around, nobody, out of all the cars on the freeway, out of all the cars in the city, all the cars riding around the country, very rarely do you see people that are silly enough to keep running their car until there's no fuel in it. We have indicators that tell us, I have a yellow light in one car, and the other light I have a different kind of indication. We call them idiot lights. But anyhow, we have indicators in our cars. Some of us, our cars even maybe beep to tell you you're low on fuel. Well, as a believer, you need to know when you're low on faith. Because faith, please write this down, faith is God's fuel for you. Faith is God's fuel for you. If you do not keep tanked up with faith, you will stop operating the way you're supposed to. We are supposed to be running with the vision of God. Now, God puts you in the vision here at Pacific Christian Center so he can bless the visions that you have in your own life. Because as we fulfill the visions in the kingdom of God, God blesses us with the things that he gives us individually. Maybe a career choice or something that you're looking to do, start a business, do whatever. As we regard the kingdom, he regards the vision that he gives us. So those that have a vision need to be able to come and help with a vision. The book of Luke talks about this, that we should be interested in, we should be trustworthy in that which is another man's. Ultimately, the vision of the church is God's vision. It's not a man's vision. I was busy going to hell by myself when God tapped on my shoulder and said, hey, excuse me, I got something for you to do. Then I was busy trying to be my own businessman without God. He tapped on my shoulder again and said, excuse me, I know you like business, but how about getting on with my business, the Father's business? God will bless you as you get into the things of God so that you can be able to serve him. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. The 8:30 service is way ahead of you on this. We've captured some things that I want to make sure this time slot also, this service gets a hold of. Ephesians, the third chapter in the 20th verse. Now, Ephesians 3:20 is a scripture about now. It's a scripture about the power that's in you. I want you to write this down because the Lord put this in my heart. Stop blaming God. Faith is up to you. And a lot of times we want to blame God for stuff that's happening when really it's our responsibility. We can cause things to change if we just build our faith to the level where we can be able to move mountains. Now, nobody needs to move Mount Rainier. I think it's fine where it is. That's not what God is talking about. But everybody here has mountains in our lives. Sometimes it's health. You have health mountains. Sometimes it's financial or prosperity mountains. Sometimes it's relationship mountains. Things are mounted against you. They are high and they are towering over you. And God wants you to know it's time to stop blaming God because faith is up to you. If we keep blaming God, we'll never take the responsibility of building our own faith. And we'll feel good because we've put it on somebody, but we haven't put it on the right one. The one that has not allowed you to have enough faith for the things that you're believing for is sitting in your seat. That's the one you should get mad at. So don't blame God anymore. Use your faith for yourself because that's what God wants you to do. In fact, when you use faith for your life, it pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So it must mean that when we have faith, it pleases him. Now, don't ever get bored with this because then that's why our lives get bored or boring. Faith should never become boring to us. Faith should always be something that we're excited about. Praise the Lord. All right, Ephesians 3:20, we're going to use this to help us to understand concerning these areas of faith. Are you with me? Say, I'm with you, Pastor. Say it again. Say, I'm with you. Don't say, I'm with you. Say, I'm with you. Okay, here we go. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, we dealt with this a little bit because our thinking can keep us from receiving what God has for us, not just our asking. We're going to deal with both because I believe many believers do not really comprehend how big our God is. We ask small things of God when God is a really big God. And so we have to adjust our asking. We'll deal with that a little later. But we also have to check our thinking. Don't let your mind get crowded with the things of this world or the cares of this world. Because if you get your mind crowded with the cares of this world, it will choke the word that you're supposed to use to receive what God has for you by faith. Now, that should be pretty clear. There's a lot of things going on in this world. Go to Matthew chapter 4. No, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, either one of them takes us to the place we need to go to. But Mark chapter 4, I want you to see this. Because now to him who is able, who is able, who is able, who is able, who is able. When I was studying and meditating on this for today's teaching, the Spirit of the Lord showed me God in a wheelchair. That's how we see God, some of us. That God is disabled. He's not able. In one part in the Old Testament, he says, are my arms too short to be able to help you? Why do we disable God, but yet we think we can do so much? Or others, we put our faith in other people, thinking that they can do so much. Now, let's go to this Mark chapter 4, and I want you to see this because there's an ability that we have when it comes to God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, 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 ask or think. You have to see the Word of God as the final authority in your life, and you have to see the Word of God as what you will use to be able to accomplish everything in your life that you can't do by yourself. I mean, God knows that he don't need to tie your shoes. I hope he doesn't. He doesn't need to turn the washing machine on for you. However, he did fix my wife's washing machine because she didn't feel like buying a new one. Yeah, she laid a hand on the washing machine, believe it or not, and the thing started working again. God will allow you to use your faith to be able to see things change. I've laid hands on her body when she was sick and it got fixed, so why not the washing machine? I know, and some people are like, that is so crazy. Well, do you know that God, by faith with the prophets, caused an axe head made out of iron to float? It's in your Bible. That it floated. That God caused 5,000 men, not counting women and children, to be fed by faith with a few loaves and fish. See, God works with the practical. And we keep running around trying to do everything. I said, I think we work too hard. You need to let God handle some of this stuff. I mean, you know. He went to Peter's house, and Peter's mother, or mother-in-law, rather, I believe it was, she had a fever. Do you know that he was more concerned about the fever than the dinner they were trying to fix for him? And he healed her of that fever? See, God cares about us. And a lot of times we want to just gloss that over. I want you to get excited about living, because faith is what we use to live. The just shall live by faith. And so, well, I'm sorry, but looking at some congregations, I'm telling you, some congregation members, y'all need life. Because if this is life, oh, keep it. Because some of you look like something is wrong with everything. See, don't tell me I can't do that. Because God looked at Cain and Abel's face. Looked at Abel's face, it looked good. Looked at Cain's face, said, "What? Why are you so downtrodden? Why are you so droopy-faced?" And he said, if you don't get your attitude right, sin is knocking at your door. So God wants you happy so you won't find a cause for sin. Let's go back to the scriptures. Mark chapter 4, y'all pulling a whole lot of different things out of me, out of the Spirit, really. It says in verse number 14, the sower sows the word. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The sower sows the word. A real farmer that's looking for something to grow, something to come up, something to be new, something to be part of the harvest, sows the word. The sower sows the word. If you really want something to come up good in your life, you need to start planting the word. When I first heard the word sow, I thought they were talking about a sewing machine. That's how ignorant we can be sometimes. I mean, I was literally saying, okay, a sower sows. I don't know how that works, okay? No, we're saying planter. A farmer plants and a believer plants. The sower sows the word. If you really want a harvest in your life that you're going to love and that God will be pleased with, you have to learn how to plant the word of God. On purpose, meaning that you can't just say anything. This is faith we're learning about. You can't just say anything. You have to say what God says and strategically plant words. My wife and I check each other. We're to the point where you don't have to check too much because I ain't saying nothing stupid and she ain't saying nothing stupid no more. But we used to say all kinds of stupid stuff. Well, I'll probably get the flu this fall. Oh, yeah, it's not going to work for me. Oh, we're going to be in debt forever. Oh, boy, I tell you, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, they don't want me at that job. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Why do you say what you don't want? That's not humble. That's stupid. Well, I don't want to act like I'm all that. You're not. But God is. Talk God talk. The sower sows the word. That's how we live by faith. We are careful with our words. And some of us are real good at all these crazy sayings. You know, wives' tales or whatever they are. We say all these stupid things that people have said for years, and they will mess you up because it's replacing what God's word is. The Bible says the sower sows the word, and it doesn't say nothing else the sower sows. So if we can't concur at least with the word or agree with what the word says, you shouldn't say it. And this is going to hit 99.9% of you in this room because you talk stupid a lot. And you think it's cute, but some of the things, if you knew that truthfully, if what you said came to pass every time you said it, I mean instantly, if God was not merciful enough to let your stupid words, my stupid words, our stupid words fall to the ground and not come to pass, what if everything we said, you wouldn't even be alive no more? I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay, all of a sudden, you're not making it. This car probably won't make it down the street another day. Next day, your car don't work. Nobody likes me, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get that job. You can't find a job anywhere. What if everything we said really did come to pass immediately? God didn't give you any grace. He didn't give you any mercy. Just everything you said came to pass. Everything you say. My kids are so stupid. All of a sudden, they can't think anything. They don't know nothing. This marriage is not going to work. I don't know if they're going to marriage. You're trying to really challenge your spouse. I don't know if this marriage is going to work or not. All of a sudden, you're not married. My kids are never going to go off of drugs. I'm so tired of this. Well, all of a sudden, they're locked in. They're gone. They leave the house forever because they're on drugs. What if everything you said really did come to pass? Would you keep talking like you're talking? See, and this is how serious it is, because the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what you hear from the word of God is what you're supposed to use to build faith so that you can have a life worth living. And this is why a lot of people hate their lives. There are a lot of people hate their lives. They don't care if they go to jail. They don't care if the police shoot them. They don't care if anything happens. They just don't care because they have no future. But the sower sows the word. The word brings life. Jesus is and was the word made flesh. So if we're sowing the word, we're sowing Jesus. And when I say the word, I'm talking about the B-I-B-L-E. I mean the one with the ribbon and the red letters. I mean, you can have one electronically. I got all kinds of them. But see, you need to realize we're talking about the word of God. No, he's not the Wizard of Oz. And some of us, when we think of some great and mighty, we think of that kind of image, some idiot that's standing behind pulling levers, which, can you imagine him being able to pull those levers and lights flash way back in the 50s was a big deal when people watched that on the movies. It was like, whoa, he is God. Until they pull the curtain back. And that's what we think of God. Just sitting there behind the curtain, pulling levers, making the lightning happen, and all this other stupid stuff. God's bigger than that. Ooh, really, Pastor? Ooh. No, he really is. So God is tired of us blaming him. For faith is our responsibility. So the sower, first of all, sows the word. Say, please write this down. I must plant the word. Now, let me say this. Farmers do not just walk out there willy-nilly, whatever willy and nilly is, but they don't just walk out there with a bag full of seed and just start going, wherever you want to go, I'm farming right now. I'm planting my seed. Now, that's how some men are with relationships. Never mind. Anyhow, sowing wild oats. Oh, Lord, help us today. It's a lifestyle ministry. I'm here to help. But when, no real farmer walks out with a sack of seeds and just go, whoa, yeah, we going to get a harvest up in here. That's not how you farm. That's not how you sow. They will have that seed planted in a row 2 miles long that if you stand here and look, it's so straight. And each seed is specifically the same amount of inches from the other. So that when that crop comes up, you can walk straight through it and you won't touch either side because they have planted it on purpose. And when God was teaching his disciples through Jesus this word, that's what he had in mind. That a sower is serious. He will not drop his seed unless it's in the right place. Boom. And that man, because he sows the seed, that woman, because she sowed that farm with the seed, that ground is supposed to obey God and cause a harvest. You give it a few weeks, you'll see some things starting to come up. After a while, you can't even see each other. You walk in between the corn stalks and you can't see 6 feet down this way because there's a whole row in front of you and another row and another row and another row and another row and another row, all planted, sown by the believer that sows the seed. You are the farmer. If you have no crop, it's your fault. If all you got is a field of weeds, that's because you ain't plant nothing. You mean I gotta work the dirt? Yep, you sure do, hoss. You gotta get out there and dig that dirt. You're gonna have to do some work. What do you mean? You need to shut up, first of all, with the stupid seed you're planting. At least don't say stupid stuff that you don't want. Some of them we get off of bumper stickers. I owe, so off to work I go. Well, that's all you're going to do. We see, we believe stupid things, things that we never should have believed for the wrong reason. We have to stop this. How long are we just going to keep coming to church and going away, staying the same? Who thinks that's right? Who thinks that's normal? I keep coming to church, going home, and the same sickness attacks me. I come to church, go home, broke as I could be last week. I come to church, nothing changed, relationship still stinks. Come to church, nobody's delivered, nobody gets saved, nobody nothing. When are we gonna get tired of being sick and tired? The sower has to have faith, not in himself, because anybody can poke a hole in the ground at the right place and put a seed in. But they got to have faith in the fact that God's going to bring that seed up, that seed is powerful enough to push. Think about this now. Push the dirt out the way. Say, get out of my way. I'm coming up. I'm part of the harvest in the life of this person. So the sower sows the words, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, you see it's words we're talking about? When they have what? When they have heard, who comes? Is that what it says in the word of God? What's his name? His other name is adversary. He is the enemy. He is the one against you. Satan comes immediately. So if we want an audience for Satan, all we have to do is start sowing the word. See, what happens with us, and I got to wrap this up quickly. What happens to us is that we get to the point where all of a sudden we are dealing with the enemy because we're sowing the word. Did you hear what I just said? We are dealing with the enemy. Now, here we go again with the enemy. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power. I release it now. I cancel the assignment to stop this word from going into the hearts of your people. Call it done now in Jesus' name. All right, let's stay going forward. We have help over there to take care of that. We've got professionals that take care of people in the ICU and the emergency room. So let's not worry about that. We're just going to believe, right, for healing. All right. So, and these are they by the wayside. They're by the wayside where the word is sown, where the word is sown, where the word is sown. That when they have heard, have you heard? I said, have you heard? Who shows up? Who shows up? What does Satan come for? He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if he can't steal it, he'll try to kill it. If he can't kill it, he'll try to just mess it up, destroy it. But God sent Jesus here. Just like Satan comes, Jesus came. Satan does not have control of your life. And he wants to take away the word sown in your heart. Y'all get what I'm saying? Satan wants to come and take away the word, because the word is the seed. He wants to take it away out of your heart, because your heart is the ground that the seed needs to go into. So when we come here, we don't, you know, I know some of us wish we could, you know, buy a mannequin and have it sit in our seat on Sunday so we wouldn't have to come. No, see, the mannequin can't get the seed of the word planted in it like you need when you come here. You have to come and get the word sown in your heart. And you know what I found out? People that come are more serious than those that don't. Some things God says, come. If you want to receive it, you got to come. Sometimes we want to just stay at home and think we can receive it all. I'm not even talking to live stream folks, because I assume you're there because you couldn't be here. But sometimes we think that God's going to bring everything to us. No, like the farmer, you got to do some work. And part of the work is getting your rump out of the bed and coming to church. Stop watching, you know, Gunsmoke for the 13th time on Wednesday nights and come on into church. Because what we need is we need to do some heart surgery. We have to plant some seed into that heart. And you should come with your heart ready and open to receive. Say amen to that. All right, so let me finish this off right here. So Satan comes immediately. So if we want Satan to show up, just start sowing the word, and he will show up and try to steal the word, try to take your attention, throw in distractions, cause you to not believe. If he can just do it for a minute, because if you ever get a hold of this, your life is going to completely change.
You ain't going to be just sitting there saying, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. Well, look at me. Well, praise God.
No, you're going to be, when you wake up in the morning, the devil is going to be saying, oh, no. She's up again. She's up. And you know who else is going to be here waiting for you to get up? God. Hi, how you doing? So good to see you. Let me tell you what's going to happen today. Listen to what I got. Now, concerning that, do this. Concerning this, do that. Yeah. Okay, now don't go there. Go over here and do this. And do it. And then, okay, all right. Now, I'm with you. You have a great day, and I'm going to be with you all day long. Satan comes immediately, but God was already there. He never leaves you or forsakes you. You know, I'm going to close this by just sharing with you what the Lord put in my heart. That most of us are like teenagers. Most believers are like teenagers, looking for the keys to the car. That we really are just like teenagers. That's what we're like, looking for the keys to the car so we can be able to start it up. But you don't know how to drive yet. You don't have a license. We really don't know very much about what happens in the kingdom. We see through a glass darkly. So we need to spend some time in God's driver's education class so we can learn how to do what God would have us to do, so we can go where God would have us to go. But a lot of us, we're like, do you remember? Oh, maybe you have a couple of teenagers at home right now. They know everything. Didn't you know that? They know everything. Your kids, well, you know, yours is not old enough yet to know everything, but she knows most everything, okay? She's saying she knows everything. Okay, it's dropping down. It's going lower. They know everything. But you know, what they don't know is that faith is what we need. And yesterday, we were taking Faith in Donald III to go buy some fireworks. Remember, I spent $46. My wife spent $14. I'll never forget that. And we bought a few fireworks. And there was a song playing off of Apple, that a Christian song by Alvin Slaughter. Faith is the key. And Faith thought we were singing about her. And that little girl had the biggest smile on her face in the back seat. Faith is the key. Don't stop believing. We had to explain to her, Faith, you're not the key. Your name is Faith. But having faith is the key. Faith is the key. Don't stop believing. We said, Faith, you're not the key. Faith is the, she didn't listen to a thing we were saying. She had her song. She was going at it. And she was convinced she's the key. But you know what? Faith is the key. And God has given us the keys to the kingdom. You need to start, you looking like that teenager right now with that car out there. You need to grab a hold of the faith keys in your life. And I'll just drop this. We'll deal with this next week. Faith, that key, Jesus described it as the revelation. The revealed knowledge that Peter said, upon this rock, God said, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, because Jesus gave the word back to him after Peter said what God had revealed to him. And see, when we start believing by faith, we do that because it's being revealed to us that God can do this for me. God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Please put that up there and we'll close with this. Luke 1:37. One day, revelation gonna come, dropped in your heart, that when you have God and your faith, nothing is impossible. The angels was talking with Mary, trying to explain to her you're going to have a child. She says, I'm engaged, but I'm not married. How can that happen? And the angel had to give her a revelation. You don't have to worry about that, because see, sometimes we try to figure out things instead of believing them. God never gave you the requirement to know everything of what's going on. He doesn't want you to know everything or understand everything. Just believe. And this is what he said. The angel said to Mary, with God, no thing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. You need to write that down. Because in your life, if you're ready to believe it, if you're mature enough to not just walk around thinking you're going to get the car without the keys, if you take a hold of this key of revelation, that there's nothing that shall be impossible for you with God. Now, what God wants you to have is in Psalms 37:4, and we'll look at that next week, is God will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart, then he will give you those desires. I said, God will give you the desires, then he will give you the desires. But you need to know, when God gives you something in your heart, nothing shall be impossible with God. Did you hear what I said? Nothing shall be impossible. We're going to make a confession on that. Stand up, please. Let's make a confession. Let's eliminate every excuse, every challenge. Let's even eliminate the enemy from coming after us. Though he comes immediately to steal your harvest, those nice planted rows, one after another, the enemy want to come and just pick it out. Just take it out. So there's nothing to come up. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to him that believes. In other words, you give faith, all things are possible. With God, nothing. How many things? How many things? How many things? With God, how many things? Nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing. Close your eyes for just a moment. Let's make this confession. Father, we make a confession before you. This is your word. This is what you said. And you're no respecter of persons. If you said it to Mary, you're saying it to us. And so, God, we come today with our faith to eliminate the impossibilities. So we say, and let's say it together, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, speak to yourself, because we're not talking to nobody else. God already knows this. The enemy already fears this. So let's convince ourselves. Faith comes by hearing. Let's hear it from you. Say, with God, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't care what it looks like in my life. With God, with God, with God. God is with me. I'm with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Come on, give God praise and let's thank God for that. Let's live that now. Father, in Jesus' name, we seal this time. We seal it. I seal it. And I bind the enemy from stealing this word. He's already trying to distract us. His trick doesn't work. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. We believe, God, that you have all things under your care in Jesus' name. And Father, I speak over your people. Let them walk away from this place. Let them talk to themselves. Let them look in the mirror and confess to themselves that nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible for them. Let their faith grow. Let the seeds come up. Cancel the negative seeds that have been planted. We call crop failure for those negative seeds. And we receive your good word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's give God some praise. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. This is his word. Give him praise in Jesus' name. Give him praise in Jesus' name. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Glory to God.